I have a shiur for you today for Parshas Baaloscha that integrates the Mirtz Hashem Halacha, Hashkafa, and Parsha, all three together. And that's somewhat rare. So to start with the Halacha part, which is on page 1 of Yomar Makomos, the question that I want to ask is, how do I leave a Beis HaKnesses? Are there halachas that tell me, how do I leave the Beis HaKnesses? How do I go into the Beis HaKnesses? We'll get to Emirtz Hashem in part 2. And my goal for today is to try to show you that Parshas Baaloscha really contains the answers to a lot of questions about Beis HaKnesses. So we'll begin with the tour, Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Nun He, and this is also quoted verbatim in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says the following: Achar sheyetze mi beis haknesses.
Is it silent, please?
After he leaves the beis haknesses, yelech lebeis hamedrash. Now, in our case, we may have a Beis HaKnesses that also is a Beis HaMedrash, but back in the day, they were two separate houses. One house was the house of worship, and the other was the house of study. And the Torah is advocating that you don't just go from the Beis HaKnesses to your workplace, but rather your destination from your house of worship is your house of study. In our case, it means he can sit down right where he is. He doesn't have to search for a Beis HaMedrash. He's right there. As we say in Yiddish, afenor, you know, on the spot. Kodem sheyelech la'asokav. So he's not yet ready to go out to work. He's got to take a very important break in the middle between his tefillah and his asokim, and in the middle he's got to go to a Beis HaMedrash. And what should he accomplish in the Beis HaMedrash? Obviously, the yikba eis lilmot. This is the concept called kvias itim litorah, to set up special times for Torah. We'll see exactly what that means, to set up a time that's designated and exclusive for the study of Torah. The Omar Rava, a statement of Rava, we'll soon see the statement of Rava, b'shoshe machnisim adam ledin. After 120 years, the first question they're going to ask you up in the judgment on high, in the heavenly court, is Kavata Itim LeTorah.
Did you make study times?
Correct. Set up special times for Torah. We'll see what that means. Fixed. Special times.
Fixed
times. And then they're going to ask him about his business dealings, but before we're ready for the business dealings, and those obviously have to be honest and clean and white, but first he's got to learn Torah. And what does that mean to set up a fixed time, a set time for learning? Kvias itim, he says, tzarech shiyehe kavua. It's got to be an absolute commitment. Takua. There's no wavering over here. It's takua. Takua is when you set down something in a foundation. It's got to be attached in a way that it cannot be.
It's solid.
Say it again.
Solid.
Solid. Okay, solid. Be'inyan shelo yavireno. Right, you can't get a phone call in the middle and they call you out for an important business deal. Af im hu savur larviach harbe. Even if it means he's going to make a lot of money. Some commitments even go beyond money. It's hard to believe such a thing in our society, that you could have a commitment that takes priority over money making. But in the world of halacha, which is the ideal world, there is such a thing. There's something that takes precedence even over making a lot of money.
What if you make a lot of money and that allows you to spend more time learning?
Good. That could be the exception to the rule. Every rule has its exception.
Yeah. This deal will get me into Kollel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You make this one deal and you're setting Kollel for you, your son, your grandson, for all generations to come.
Then it would probably be a heter.
Yeah. Then we'll find a heter. Okay. That's, I spoke about on Shabbos, the word ma'os, mem ayin vav tav, which means money that's designated to help Torah scholars. So we said that if you take the first word, the first letter in each of those four words, and you scramble it together, you get the phrase, which is an explicit statement in Chazal, that vi'ein avera machabe Torah. That even though avera is machabe miloshen kibu, it means it extinguishes the power of a mitzvah and it nullifies the mitzvah. But nevertheless, the avera doesn't have the power to nullify Torah. Torah study has a very profound influence on the person. And that's what we're talking about here. And what I'm going to try to prove to you is that the source and the basis for this halacha in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses,
my daughter,
yeah, go ahead, is going, can you get out? You need a helicopter?
It's not a business deal.
You're not a business deal, okay. Is going to be our Parshas Balos. But first, before we get to that, we want to take a look at a Gemara at the end of Masechta Brachos. Yeah, does anybody know what the last daf on Masechta Brachos is? I'll give you a hint. Siyata Dishmaya. Samatal. Right, Samatal. That's the end of Masechta Brachos. So actually, this statement of Rab Levi that we're going to learn is a few lines before the Siyum of Masechta Brachos. So if it's not familiar to you, it doesn't mean that you never heard a Siyum on Masechta Brachos, because sometimes they don't include this line in the Siyum. Amar Rab Levi bar Chiya hayotzi mibeis haKnesses. A person is careful, and when he leaves the Beis HaKnesses, he doesn't go directly to his place of work, but rather nichnas lebeis hamedrash v'osek b'torah. In such a case, zocher u'mekabel pnei shechina. There are great rewards for him. He'll receive the shechina itself, and this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Pei Dalid. Shenemar yelchu Michael al chayil yirel al kim b'tzio. So a person who goes Michael lechayil, meaning from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash, and after Torah, after Tefillah, he dedicates himself to Torah study, he will receive the Shechina. Now, so far, what we looked at was Simon Kufnun Aleph at the very beginning, Simon Kuf Nun Hey, I'm sorry, at the very beginning of that Simon. And now we want to move on in that discussion, and the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. He says that Achar sheyetzim beis haKnesses, yelech beis haMedrash, v'yikba eis l'ilmod, v'tzarech oso eis sheyeh kavur shel yavirenu afshu sover lavir harvei. And the Ramah adds the following comment. What happens in the case of someone who doesn't know how to study? He hasn't been trained. The Af Misha Eina Yodel Yulomot. Is there any point? Is it an exercise of futility? Is it worthless to send him into the Beis HaMedrash? What's he going to do there? He doesn't know how to learn. He says, no. Af Al Pisha Eina Yodel Yulomot. Nevertheless, Yelech Beis HaMedrash. Uschar halicha biyado. He'll get schar for going from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash. No, but okay, very nice. You know, it's a good walk, and I'm sure his physician will be very proud of him. They got a little extra exercise in the morning. But what's the point? So he gets to the Beis HaMedrash, and then he looks like a fool. He doesn't even know what to do over there.
You're told that if you don't understand the Gemara.
Oh, so what do you do?
When you get to Olam Haba, it will come back to you and you'll remember it.
Okay.
You'll understand it.
But that's only if someone can teach it to you or read it to you. But let's say you walk into a Beis HaMedrash and you don't even have a Gemara.
Yeah.
Or even if you have a Gemara, it's written in Aramaic and you don't know a word of Aramaic. So he says the following. O yikba lo mokom v'yilmad ma'at mashi odea. He knows a little bit. And whatever he knows, he should learn it, and if he has to review it day after day after day. And then he gives another option. What should he do in the Beis Medrash? V'yachshov b'inyonov. Now, literally, this sounds like he's saying he should calculate all the money he's going to make that day. But if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, which you have as source number 4 on your page, the Mishnah Berurah says that what's v'yachshov b'inyonov? And I'm going to ask you to summarize the Mishnah Berurah in one word. What mitzvah is he going to be involved in? Pirush, sheyireh v'yivdok b'shivtok tzas panui, while he's sitting and he's panui means he's free, he's got time on his hands, yivdok, he should be checking im yesh tzad avera b'maso matin shalo. He's not preparing how to make a lot of money, but he's reviewing the ways that he makes money to make sure that they are kosher v'yosher, that there's no gezel, no theft, no, he doesn't overcharge someone or underpay him, ribbis, he's not taking interest, v'chadoma, v'yifrosh v'meno. And then he makes an absolute decision, a commitment to stop and cease, desist from any sort of illegal monetary gains. So in a word, what's he doing now when he's sitting in the Beis HaMedrash?
He's applying power with the business.
But one word in Lashon Kodesh. Can you think of one mitzvah that he's involved in when he looks into his maisiv and he checks them to make sure that they're clean of any sort of violations? What's that called?
Teshuva.
Teshuva, exactly. This is what we call teshuva. He's involved in mitzvah teshuva. So you have two choices. Either you go to the Beis HaMedrash and learn whatever you can, you'll get schar for whatever effort you make. Or if you can't even do that bare minimum, at least do tshuva. Here you have a minute to contemplate, you know, what you're doing, and you're in a Beis HaMedrash. You should be thinking about how to improve your actions.
I'm surprised that the Chavosayim, forget the Ramah for a moment, but the Chavosayim didn't say a Selah Chodav, that if you go to the Beis HaMedrash, you should find someone who knows more, you should learn with them.
Correct.
The Chavosayim that I read was the Davar Makubal.
Correct. I think that's all included in what the Ramah says when he says, V'yilmod ma'at. You know, he should study a little Bameshi Odeo, with whatever somebody could help him out with, if it's an art scroll, or maybe has a Rebbe who can teach him. Okay. Now, Rabosai, what does this have to do with Parshas Balos? Because as I said at the outset, this is not just a Halacha Shir, this is also Parshas Shir. Now, in order to understand this, we're going to open up, if you happen to have the blue Chumashim, it's on page 362. And this is Bamidbar Perek Yud. And we're going to take a look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel, 362 in the big blue Chumashim. So again, it's Bamidbar Yud, Lamed Gimel. Vayisu Mehar Hashem. You have such a pasuk? Okay, fine. Now, if you fast forward for a moment to page 363, here we have what's called the parsha of, anybody know what it's called?
Inverted nuns.
Exactly, the nunin hafuchim, the inverted nuns. Vayhi ben tzoah ha'oron, vayom mashekum Hashem, etc., etc. So Rashi makes a comment here, and he addresses the question, why these inverted nuns, the nunim hafuchim? And Rashi says, Asolo simonios milafonov me'achorov lomar she'ein zem mekoma.
It's not, shouldn't really be.
Correct, it's out of place. So this parsha, which includes two psukim, is a unit of two verses, Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav, is a separate independent parsha.
Different, and it makes it six, seven books, I mean.
Could be that this is the sixth book of the Torah.
Yeah.
Now, why was it placed here, Rashi says? So Rashi says they needed a wedge separating between what came before it and what came after it. And this is called peronios. Now, again, the word peronios technically means punishment, but every punishment is for a sin, and therefore the word peronios here in Rashi means sin. So there's a sin, a chet, of Bnei Yisrael before the Vayehi ben Tzoah Ha'aron, and there's one after the Vayehi ben Tzoah Ha'aron. And the question is exactly what are those sins, the one that came before and the one that came after. So Rashi says, Kedei lahafzik bein peronios peronios, Rashi doesn't tell you what these sins are, and for that we have to go back to the original source, which is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. So what does Gemara say in Masechta Shabbos? And this is on Daf Kufte Zayin Amid Beis. And even though it's a lot further than Samach Dalet in Brachos, but it's hardly even halfway through Masechta Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos is gigantic. It says, Lama kosfa kan kedei lahafzik bein peronios rishona leparnios shnia. In other words, there's a first chet, and then there's a second chet, and they're wedged, they're separated one from the other by the nunin hafuchim. So the Gemara says, I understand what the peronios shnia is. If I want to know what happens immediately following the parsha of Vayehi ben Tsoa Aaron the Nun and Afuchim, you look in Perek Yud Aleph, which is on your page 363, and it says Vayehi ha'am kimis onanim. So we have what's called the misonanim.
Grumblers.
The grumblers, the complainers, and they're going to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu about the missing basar, whatever it might be, and that's okay. However, what is exactly the Paranios Rishona? That's not clear. If you take a look on page 362 to the parsha of that comes right before Vayehi ben Tsoa Aaron, there's no clear-cut indication that there's any sin over here. So the Gemara answers, that's Vayisu Mehar Hashem, which you saw in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the first three words, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Now we have to figure out what is the chait of Vayisu Mehar Hashem, and that's what Rabbi Chama is going to explain to us. But before we get Rabbi Chama, I just want to point out here that the Marsha makes a very insightful comment, and that is
incisive
comment, thank you, and that is that Har Hashem is a phrase that we don't find elsewhere, meaning whenever the Torah is referring to Har Sinai, then the Marsha, which you'll see on the bottom right of your page number 11, it always uses the following phrases, one of three phrases, either Har Elokim, Har Chorev, or Har Sinai. Those are the three phrases that are used in the Torah to describe the place where the Torah was given. Here it says, uses a different term, Har Hashem. So we'll get back to the Marsha in just a moment, but I think this Marsha is a very good segue to understand Rabbi Chama. What is the sin of Vayisu Mehar Hashem? Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Shesaru Me'achore Hashem. Saru Me'achore Hashem. Rashi identifies this as the sin of what's called Kivros Hatava. There are two sins that come here in Parshas Balos that are very similar but slightly different. There's a, shall we say, a nuance of a difference between the two. One of them is the sin of the misonanim, who are complainers, and the other is the sin of the misavim, who have, shall we say, an unbridled, unlimited taiva desire for the consumption of
meat.
Okay, we don't know exactly what the word meat means, but it says meat. However, as we'll soon see, Tosis is not happy with Rashi, because after all, that paranios, that chait of Kivras Hatava is going to come here on page 363 in Pasuk Dalit, and that's the Pasuk of his Avu Taiva. Now, we're understanding that the Nunim Afukim are wedged in between that chait that comes before it and that chait that comes after it. And furthermore, Rashi's difficult because if we identify the pasuk of Vahayu, Vayisu Me'ar Hashem as Kivras Hatava, where is there any indication in the words Vayisu Me'ar Hashem that they had this unbridled desire for physical pleasures? And therefore Tosvis, the Balei HaTosvis, there in Masechta Shabbos, offer a different interpretation. After quoting Rashi, again, this is in Shabbos Daf Kuf Tezayin, he quotes the Ri. And he writes on the third line, Paranius Rishona, the Paranius that's indicated before the Nunim Afuchim, which is Vayisu Mehar Hashem, is the following. And he quotes a Medrash Agada, Yilamdenu, Vayisu Shenasu Mehar Sinai Derech Shloshes Yomim Kitinok Hayotze Mibes HaSefer Sheboreach Lo Veholech Lo. So I don't know how many people in this room have any experience with young children, education for young children. They are waiting until the bell rings. Again, I don't know if that's an American thing or all across the world.
Across the world.
They're waiting for that bell to ring. And it's not just for young children, unfortunately. This goes on and on. And it probably applies even to postgraduate seminars. We just want to run away. And the word Vayisu, for some reason, is being identified here with the Beis HaSefer, that they ran away from the Beis HaSefer. Kiboreach, like a tinok sheboreach mi Beis HaSefer. So we want to raise a number of questions here. First of all, how do we know that they were running away from a Beis HaSefer? We'll see. That's what the Marsha is going to try to answer. And it's not what you think. It's not Har Sinai as Har Sinai. Because Har Sinai, you should know, had a temporary sanctity. It was transitory. It was only for the moment. Once the Shechina left Har Sinai after the Aseres HaDibros, that's it. You know, there are many people who spend their lives looking for Har Sinai, but from my perspective, they're wasting their lives because there's no separate sanctity to Har Sinai. I mean, it's nice for, you know, if you want to become at some point in your life, I know some older people decide that before they throw in the towel on work, they want to become guides, you know, tour guides. So if you want to become a tour guide, you might want to know where Har Sinai is, because that's really cool. That's where we got the Torah, on this mountain. But that mountain has no significance. So we're going to have to talk not about Har Sinai or Har Elokim, Har Chorev, but about Har Hashem. Har Hashem is an identity with a permanent Kedusha, an infinite Kedusha, namely with the Beis HaSefer, or what we call the Beis HaMedrash, where Torah is being studied. And for some reason, the Jewish people are in a rush. They want to get out of there as soon as possible. So the Ramban, here in Parshas Baaloscha, says, why were they in such a rush? Where were they going to? I mean, after all, they're in the desert. You know, there's not much to run for. I mean, they might have someone has seen an oasis in the distance. I don't know. So he says the following: Inyan haMedrash hazeh matzos baGadosh enosu meHar Sinai beSimcha kitino kaboreach miBeis HaSefer. They had a sense of simcha by running away from Har Sinai. Amru, they declared, Shema Yarbe v'yitei lano mitzvos. We got 613. Das ist ein genug. That's enough. 613. If we linger around more, it's going to be 614. And before you know it, who knows? Maybe it'll be 1,000. In any event, the Ramban is of the opinion that therefore there are three paradios in this parasha. There's the paradios of the chet of Vayisu Me'ar Hashem. Let's get out of here before they zap us with more mitzvahs. Then there are two peronials, the two chatoim after the Nunim Hafuchim, named the Misavim and the Misonanim. And the magic number three is something that we have to avoid at all costs, because does anybody know halachically? Chazok. Chazok is always established with three, and if the Jewish people would have repeated three sins consecutively, oy vavoy, that would have been a terrible situation. And therefore the wedging here of Vayehi B'Tzor Aharon, so that there's not three consecutive sins. Again, how that operates, I don't know, but we'll leave it as such. So what is the Marsha going to give me now? Right, we're holding like the Chachamim, that you need three for a Chazok, and so soon you need. In any event, what happens here with the Marsha? The Marsha says that the diuk of Rabbi Chama, and the conclusion that he drew, that Saru Me'achore Hashem, that because it says Vayisu Me'ar Hashem, it means Saru Me'achore Hashem, Ketino Kaboreach Me'beis HaSefer, is based on the fact that this identification of Har Sinai as the Har Hashem is very unique. It's not to be found anywhere. Lo Matzinu Shenikra, I'm going to add two words, Har Sinai, Har Hashem. We don't find that Har Sinai is called Har Hashem. And I'm going to skip a few words again, just for pedagogical reasons. I will makom shenitna b'Torah. If you want to know what's the name that's appropriate all over Tanakh for the place where the Torah was given, lo nikritadak. Number one, Har Elokim. That's back in Shmos Perek Gimel, you know, at the snare, or it's called Har Chorev, or it's called Har Sinai. And this is very strange. All of a sudden, it's called Har Hashem. Al-Kain Darshu, Har Hashem means the place where I can seek out God, I can encounter Him, and learn from His wisdom. And where is that? That's a place called the Beis HaSefer, or the Beis HaMedrash, or the Beis HaMikdash. Because as we know from the Gemara in Bava Basra, that the Jews who wanted to study Torah on the highest level would gravitate and converge on the Beis HaMikdash, because that's where the greatest and highest level of Torah was taught. And the Sanhedrin sat there, and any question that had to be analyzed would come to the Beis HaMikdash. And they came to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokom HaShoas HaShechina, that's where the Shechina was, that's called Har HaShem, and that's where they studied Torah. And that's called Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora. And the Gemara Bava Basra says that initially, before they established the school system as we know it, all the education took place on the Har HaShem. But the Gemara says that they couldn't live with that, because if you had a 16-year-old boy, okay, you can bring him to the Har HaShem, but if you have a young child and you have to schlep him all the way to Har HaShem, and imagine if you live up in Tveria, you know, it's going to be very difficult. You know, just to get to Tzfat can take you 3 or 4 hours. And therefore, we have to have a more convenient school system. And that's, the Gemara says, that they organized the various Tinoko Shel Beis Rav. But initially it was Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora. Where did you learn Torah? Where was the place of Yiras Hashem? Where was the Shechina? That was in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the Marsha says that the Har HaShem is the Mokom HaMikdash. That's the ultimate Beis Sefer, Beis Medrash, Shenizkadesh Li Olam, and it has a permanent Kedusha that's absolutely infinite. Now, we don't have time to go into the question of why the Jewish people ran away from the Har HaShem. The Ramban says, as we saw before, they were afraid, they were anticipating maybe they'll get more mitzvahs. But there are 4 Gedolei Torah in our generation, and none of them are alive anymore, but they were from the great Bali Av Musar that you'll see on the left column, in Numbers 12, 13, 14, and 15. Or one of them is still alive. And it starts with Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. Does anybody know who he was? He was the Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva, back in Chutz Lartz, and then here in Eretz Yisrael towards the end of his life. And Rabbi Yerucham says that if we appreciate what the Dor Deah was, the Dor HaMidbar, that they saw all the Nisim of the Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and then they received the Torah, will wonder, what does it mean that they ran away from Har Sinai? How could this be? And based on his Hashkafic analysis, he comes to the conclusion, and this is the Hashkafic part of Hashiach for today, that you and I wouldn't have even noticed that they ran away from the Har Sinai. It wasn't something that was visible, but rather he calls it some sort of Mehiris Kolshehi. There was a little extra speed when they moved. And he says, it's something dak min adak, you know, it's subtle of subtles. And on that level of a Dor Deah, when everyone received 2 crowns, one from the heavens, one for Nas and one for Nishma, when even the lowest level of a Jew at Maimed, at Kriyas Yamsu, was able to see more than Yechezkel ben Buzi, Zekeli ve'an Vehu, apparently on such a high level, even something as subtle as a pu'ula k'tano kazos, that already indicates, even though it's a very small kind of thing that you and I wouldn't have even noticed, it indicates something deep down in their hearts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reads the heart, he's the Bochein Klois V'Lev, and he understood that on that level, it was like a tinok haboreach mibeis ha-sefer. In that subtlety, something that you can't even measure, they deserved a critique because of their high level. This has something to do, Rabosai, with a famous principle called HaKadosh Baruch Hu medagdik im ha-tzadikim kechud ha-sayra, that God is very meticulous and demanding based on the level you're at. He expects you're living up to certain standards based on the level that you've achieved. So there's a certain level of, or element of, relativity in the way God judges. Now at this point, you'll take a look at the end of the paragraph Nizbonana, again from Rabbi Yerucham, and you'll see that he refers you to another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And this halacha is also addressing the question of how to leave a Beis HaKnesses. And it says the following. This is in Simon Tzadi. He quotes it in a shortened form. I'll read the entire halacha to you. It says, Mitzvah larutz kishaholech lebeis hakneses. Again, that's going to be the second half of our discussion today. How do you go into the beis hakneses? You should rush into the shul. And then he says, Aval kishayetze, this is the part that's relevant to us, kishayetze vibeis hakneses, asur larutz. You're not allowed to run. And Rabbosa, if I were to ask you, which parsha in the Torah is the source for this halach in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to run out of a shul? It is Parshas Baalosu. Because, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, that a person shouldn't be rushing out of a shul, he shouldn't be rushing out of a Beis HaMedrash, but he should be ma'akev es atzmo. He should stay and enjoy the atmosphere of the Shekhinah, because if he runs, he says, mare al atzmo, he demonstrates about himself, shedom alav kamasui, that this is a tremendous responsibility on his shoulders, and it's an onus and a burden, and he wants to get out of there as soon as he can. So the source for this halacha, that a person should not rush out of a Beis HaKnesses, is right here in our parasha. Now, Rabbi Lev Chassman in number 13 and the Altar of Slabodka in number 14, they also approach this parasha from a similar way, a similar approach, and they ask the question, well, they had to leave Har Sinai, they got a tzivui to move on and to travel to the next destination, so why were they held to task? And the answer is, he says that even when you are forced to move and you have to leave, what's your attitude? Do you feel, well, unfortunately I have to go on, I would like to labor and linger around here, this is my true desire, or am I very happy that now I can leave this place and go on to another place? And the fact that they were in a rush to go away from the Har Hashem, that indicates that they really want, in a sense, alienate themselves or diminish their connection to Torah study. Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, who's Rosh Shiva here in Bayit Vegana Vateres, in number 15, he wants to try to answer up Rashi and to explain why Vayehi ben Soha Aaron actually wedges between the two sins of Taiva and the Misl Onanim. And he wants to say that the sin of Taiva, of unbridled desire for unbridled hedonistic pleasure, is a result of Vayisu Vehar Hashem. In other words, when a person is not focused on spirituality and on studying Hashem's Torah and His wisdom, then he gets distracted and he's off for taiva. He wants to enjoy life. But what I did want to point out to you is the Mata Ephraim on Mumba 17, which is one of the most important sources for Ashkenazic minhagim, especially in regards to tefillah. He addresses the case of Yom HaKippurim. And I think I hear a krechts in his voice when he says, "Kishiyotzim mibeis haKnesses or mibeis haMedrash, yesh lotzeis benachas." One should leave quietly and gently, slowly. Lo kahamoni aham. I think he's krechtsing about the fact that he saw with his own eyes that there are like hordes of people that rush out of the Beis haKnesses, Beis haMedrash. Harotzim Yatsu Dechufim, anybody know where that's from? From Megillas Esther, right? Mivuhalim. Kilu Rotzim Lios Me'asar Rishaynim Hayotzim Mibeis HaKnesses. This is halacha being the first 10 to come into the Beis HaKnesses. They want to be for the first 10 who leave the Beis HaKnesses. And there are those who already prepare themselves when we get up to Anim Zmiris. Oh, Samachlo, or maybe even before that. Okay, I'm a little bit guilty of this, but that's because you'll soon see that there's an exception to the rule if you have to teach a shiur. So I'm in a rush to get out of davening, not because I don't like davening. I'd love to spend another hour davening, but I got to prepare my shiur. I got a 9 o'clock shiur. Anyway, no excuses, Berzon. Okay, he says the following: Hakol Muchan. He's already got his bags packed. He's ready to go. Larutz Orach Mibeis HaKnesses Kshiyigmar. And he says, not only on Yom Kippur, but he says, people do this the whole year round, b'chol, loritz mi beis haknesses atzmo, b'yitz yosu beis haknesses, he says, u'bi yom kodesh hazeh, on this Yom Kippur, Ein laharos, we should not be demonstrating that Yom Kippur is kvedus, is very heavy, and it's an onus on our shoulders. But rather, we should really understand that Yom HaKippurim is the holiest day of the year. And now, if you turn to page 2,
that no one used the pasuk in Baruch Hapuch and said that now we slept in the shore and run out.
Right. So again, only because I'm kind of rushed for time and I want to cover page 2, so if you could hold your questions till we finish, but I'll be here, don't worry. I want to talk about the other dimension, how to enter into the Beis HaMedrash. Okay, so you flip around the page. And this also, I believe, will lead us back to Parshas Baal Loscha. And here the issue that we want to raise is something called reverence for a Beis HaKnesses. Anybody know what the Hebrew word that I'm referring to is when I say reverence? Kedusha, or another word? Yira. Because as we see in Parshas Bahar, okay, that's a few weeks back, but in number 6, the Torah says, U'mikdashai tiro. Tiro means you should have yira of the Mokom HaMikdash. That's one of the 613 mitzvahs. And we're going to soon see that yira, that awe... Correct, it's a definite mitzvah. And the awe and the reverence we have to have for the Beis HaMikdash is going to translate in our time into the awe and reverence for Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. So the real source for this mitzvah, the original source, is back in Parshas Bahar. But how to do the mitzvah, that's here in Parshas Baal Loscha. First of all, what is the first subject of Parshas Baal Loscha, the first theme? First mitzvah in the parasha.
The menorah.
So we're talking about lighting the menorah. Well, where do we light the menorah? Well, back in the time, we lit it in the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash. What do we do today? Is there no mitzvah of lighting a menorah today? Well, there's Chanukah. But what about the rest of the year? So if you take a look at the Medrash HaGadol, which is number 2 on your page, because Rashi says that this parsha opens up with the parsha menorah in order to calm down Aaron HaKohen, that even though he and his shevet did not participate in the end of parsha's Noso, that very exciting but somewhat repetitive Kriyas HaTorah of the Chanukas HaNesiim and all the karbonos that they brought, and Aaron and his shevet were not represented there, and Aaron had a little bit of Chalisha Sadas, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu hits him with Parshas Baal Loscha with a greater mitzvah, the mitzvah of the menorah. And according to one medrash, the mitzvah of menorah is a mitzvah for all generations, whereas the karbonos that were brought at the end of Parshas Noso, that's only as long as the Mikdash is Chai V'Kayim, as long as it's alive. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of the menorah in our time? So if you take a look at the Medrash HaGadol, which is, I think, a Yemenite medrash, it says over there, Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, he says, Bi'urim kabdu Hashem. What is Urim? Lights. Melamed, says the Medrash, Shechayovim Yisrael lahadlik bebate knesios ubebate midrashos shehem kemigdash. That's why you'll notice in the Mishnah Berach that we say after Yukum Purkan, it says Ne'el HaMa'ar, right? Yeah. So those who give for the electricity get a special schutz that they're singled out over there amongst the various stuccos that you do. And why? Because they're fulfilling this mitzvah of what? Of Be'urim Kivdu Hashem, that with light we give honor to Hashem. Now, the Medrash HaGadol asks, well, that's okay at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, but what about in our time? And he quotes a pasuk, Vayei lehem leMikdash Ma'at. Does anybody know where that pasuk appears? In Sefer Yechezkel. In fact, if you want to just quickly fast forward, we're in the middle of the Medrash HaGadol number 2 to number 7, the Sfarno, back in Parshas Bahar, he points out that U'mikdashai tiro, this mitzvah of having an awe and a reverence for the Beis HaMikdash, applies not just to the Beis HaMikdash, but to the Mekomos Mekudashim, any place that designated for Shechina, for Kedusha, even in Golus, v'ein batei knesios u'batei midrashos, v'af al pi shechar of Beis HaMikdash, this mitzvah of what? Of Mikdashai tiro still applies, Ki Amro, as the Pasuk says in Yechezkel Navi, Va'ehi Lahem L'Migdash Me'at. And the Gemara Megillah says, what is this a reference to? This Migdash Me'at, a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash, Elu Batei Knesios U'Batei Midrash Shem Bavel, and even in Chutzlatz we still have this mitzvah of Mora Migdash, Migdash Ha'itiro, but it now expresses itself in the form of Kavod Yira, or reverence for the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. And the Medrash HaGadol learns from our parashah Baloscha that this expresses itself in lighting candles lahadlik neros be Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. But Rabosai goes way beyond that. If you'll open up your Chumash, in this case to page 359, I believe. Let me just see if I got that right. You'll see there's a parsha here in Bamidbar Perek Tes of Chatzotzros. Okay, for some reason, I'm not finding it right now. Just one second. Maybe it's here on page 360, if somebody could find it for me, but I don't want to waste any time on that. Oh, here it is. It's on page
360
at the bottom of the page. And over there it says, Asei Lecha Shtei Chatzotzros. Okay? And what is the point of the Chatzotzros? When do we blow these trumpets? So if you take a look at Pasuk Tes, at Pasuk Tes in Perek Yud, Chisavo milchama v'artzachem, alatzor atzor eschem, v'areyosem v'chatzotzros. This means literally that when the enemies of the Jewish people battle against the Jewish people, we blow the chatzotzros, and then we'll be remembered by Hashem, and He'll bring us our salvation from our enemies. However, this parsha of Kisavo Milchama. Well, maybe I can ask you the following question. I'm curious to know whether you'll, by association, what is the word Milchama?
War.
Obviously a war, but can you associate with this war, this concept of Milchama, if you're familiar with the Archaim HaKadosh, or almost all the commentaries throughout the... Correct. This Milchama here is going to be a reference or an allusion symbolically to the ongoing war we have against the Yetzer Hara, against the Mekatregim, against those who come up in front of Hashem and say that we're a bunch of bad guys. This is the Tsar HaTzorer Eschem. This is the real enemy of the Jewish people. So above and beyond the literal pshat in this pasuk, which is the military campaign and the battlefield, the word Melchama also has symbolic meaning. Now the truth is, as you'll see in source number 4, that from a grammatical point of view, the simple, straightforward pshat in this pasuk is difficult because it says v'chisavo milchama. That doesn't make any sense. It should either say v'chisavo l'milchama or kitavo milchama. Kisavo milchama makes no sense. So the Shachal HaTorah wants to divide up these three words at the beginning of pasuk Tes into two parts. It's kind of like putting in a hefsek in the middle. There's v'chisavo and there's milchama. And basically the words v'chisavo are coming as a response to the following question. There's a milchama. That milchama is not something that happens now. You know, all of a sudden your enemies attack you. Because if that be the case, it should have said kisavo limilchama for this particular battle. But it's not one time. This is the ongoing battle. What is the ongoing battle? Continuous. That goes on 24/7 for every single individual Jew and for the entire nation of Israel. That's the battle against the great Makatreg, Samael. Again, I don't want to go into Kabbalistic notions, which I don't understand, but these are the forces of evil that try to trip us up. That's the Milchama. So the Milchama here in Pasuk Tes says the Shach is a given. But the question is, how do we respond and how do we deal with this Milchama? How do we effectively confront this Milchama? The answer is Kisavo. And what does Kisavo mean? Where are we going to fight this battle? Says the Shach, and you'll see it in the next to the last line, Kisavosh miskabtim, the last line in the Shach, Uboim lebeis hakneses, that we gather together as a people and we come into the Beis HaKnesses. So if you ask me, what's the connection between Parshas Vahalosha and the Beis HaKnesses? It's right here in the Shach, in the Parsha of Kisavo. We're going into the Beis HaKnesses. And that's where we're going to cry out to Hashem in Tefillah. That's where we're going to study His wisdom, His Torah. And that's where we're going to confront and encounter His Shechina. And that's going to give us the power to stand up and succeed in the battle against this ongoing enemy that lurks in the shadows, the Milcham, against the Kategor on an ongoing basis. And this leads us to another Simon in Shulchan Aruch, and that is the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses. We saw that there's a mitzvah of Mora Migdash, and that mitzvah of Mora Migdash applies in our time vis-a-vis the shuls. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that if you want to, you need someone, right? You got to summon him out, but he's davening in shul. In tzarich likanes ben, you have to go into shul in order to get somebody, and you need him for whatever purpose. Litzarko, you go likro liodam likanes, likro liodam. There's no heter. You can't just walk into a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to just walk into a Beis HaKnesses because of your own individual needs. You know, it's raining out, you need a shield from the rain. But rather, yikonis v'yikra ma'at, he should study Torah, even a short amount of Torah. O yomar dvar shmua, or should tap somebody on the shoulder and share with him some divrei Torah. Then v'achar kach, once you're already in the shul, now you have a heter to go into shul, now you can call him out, you can summon him. Kidei, this is all to avoid shloye nirikilu nichnas litzarko. It's like a zilzul in the mora migdash when he goes into the shul for no purpose. Again, I would always say in our time, this halacha doesn't apply because if you find a Jew that's willing to come into the Beis Knesses, grab him. You know, any Jew who's willing to come to the synagogue, grab him, and this is an opportunity. He may come for yizkar. You know, I come from a shul where on Yizkar and Leil Yom Kip, again, Halavai, it would be the same today, we had 1,300 people in shul. On a regular Shabbos, we had 300. Halavai, we still have those Jews who come for a Yizkar or come for a Yom Kippur or for a Kol Nidre and so forth and so on. I'm afraid that group of Jews is Holchim Upoksim. But in any event, you're not allowed to go into a shul just for the sake of going into a shul. You have to do it because of yeshiva. You want to sit down. You want to learn something. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. And all this is a reflection of what we see here in the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And here I'd like you to fast forward to number 8 on your page. The Shulchan Aruch says, Noagim bohem kavod lechabdom uleravtam. You know, there's some people who actually volunteer to clean off. You know, some people leave their dirty cups. I really want to give a musish moves here because after every shir I give, I end up cleaning up the table from cups and from... Yesterday I found a banana peel on the table. Okay. A banana peel. Ishkaya. I mean, can't you get up and throw out your banana peel? Okay, so I'm not giving Musa today because we're learning halacha, and halacha says that you have to make sure the Beis HaKnesses is clean, and you have to wash the floors of the Beis HaKnesses. What do you say?
Halacha is Musa.
That's right. And Pirish, kavod nikui habayis. You should clean the shul the way you want to keep your house clean. With a kalvachomer, this is the house of Hashem. And he talks about zrikas mayim al pnei karka. Okay, in those days, they had sort of like dirt floors. You had to wash it by sprinkling water on it. And then he says, as we saw in the outset, from the Medrash HaGadol, v'nogim lahadlik v'em neros lechabdon. The Magen Avraham, based on the Sefer HaChassidim, tells us an unbelievable mice about one of the Rishonim, that to show his humility in front of God in the Beis HaKnesses, he would actually clean the floor with his beard. Okay, I'm not recommending that, but... The Shulchan Aruch writes in number 11, Yesh li yizor milishtamish ba'aliyos shal gabe bote haknesios tashmish kavua shal gnai. Imagine if you set up a little house up on the roof of a shul and you live with your wife there. That's asur. And if you take a look in the Taz, if you want to let your hair stand on end for a minute, the Taz says, Ani bi al dusi in my youth, Hayisi dar, he was probably a young married man, Bekila Kedosha Krakow, anybody here from Krakow? No? Well, my father-in-law's not here today. Okay, in B'nai Beisi, Be'beis Medrash, Shoyel Amala B'beis HaKnesses. He was living on top of a Beis HaKnesses. V'nenashti harbe, and I was punished, B'misas B'ni, and I lost my son, V'talisi Bazen. The only chait I could find is this sin, that I was living on top of the Beis HaKnesses. If you take a look in the drasha, the Chasam Sofer, he says that when you walk into a shul, anywhere in the world, you know where you're walking into? You're walking into Eretz Yisrael. But that's conditional, he says. You want to say that a shul and a Beis Medrash has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that's only if you treat it with Kedusha. But im chas v'sholom anunogim bahem bizayon, if we speak Dvar B'Telim in a shul, again, I don't know if this applies to the Amic Learning Center because it wasn't built as a shul. We're talking about something that was built as a shul. You know, the various dinim and kedushas beis knesses that have to be studied. That's already for an 8 o'clock shiur on Shabbos morning. You know, that needs a lot more study. But in any event, let's take the classical case of a structure that was built. It was an edifice that was erected as a synagogue. He says, Asul edaber ben dvar b'telim. And he says that when you speak dvar b'telim in a shul, and how much more so, chas v'shalom, if you speak Lashon Hara to shul, then it creates a certain hevel, a certain atmosphere. I don't know, this is again very spooky, but he says it's a hevel which is mislavish bo sar shel chutzlaretz, and some sort of a sar of tumah of chutzlaretz gets involved in this, and therefore, when we daven in such a shul, he says instead of the tefillos going up to Shamayim, they go to the Chitzonim. Again, I don't know who these powers of evil are, but that's already more Kabbalistic. And if you take a look, the Arizal, which is in number 17, quoted by the Magen Avraham, Hayema'od Zoyer Shalom L'Dabar Beis HaKnesses, he would not get into any discussion whatsoever in a shul. Ela, but only Rak B'Tfiloso, only Tfilah. Even Dvar Musar, well, we could add, Herb says we could add Allah here, Afilu Dvar Alocha, or Dvar Musar, Uchuva Lo Diber. He didn't speak. Well, why can't you speak Musar in a shul? I'm going to give a Musar shmuz here at 3 o'clock for the kol. Is it Asur? The Ari says, you know what? I'm afraid. Pen Yimoshech B'menu Direchol. Once you start talking Musar, you never know where it's going to lead you. Some rebbeim will deliberately talk about different things because they want to keep the olam excited. They want to wake up all the sleeping people, and they're following in good paths because Rabbi Akiva once said a shiur before Purim, and he noticed that the audience was falling asleep. So he said a whole shtickle Torah about 127 provinces connected the 127 years of Chai Sora. Everybody woke up somehow. They were very excited. All right, Rabbos, I see the hour is late. Let's just finish with number 20, which is the Kleisenberger Rebbe. And this is very fascinating to me.
Say because come to Lashon Hara.
That's right. Even Lashon Tov might come to Lashon Hara. You never know where it'll lead. So I'm going to end with the Eretz HaTzvi of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. If anybody wants to hear a little Satmar Torah, you know, the Satmar Rebbe was very sharp. That's number 19. I'll share that with you. But that's only if you want to stay overtime, because we're really running out of time. But the Eretz HaTzvi speaks about the power of a tzaddik ador, and he says, "V'nira de baloschas haneros." This parsha of baloschas haneros, which means to rise up the flame should rise up from the wicks, cause it to rise up, is a remez for the kohen. And who is the kohen? Well, literally, it's the Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash, but this is an allusion throughout the generations to the Tzaddik Hador. The Yesh Lo Koch, he also has the power to light the candles, to get those flames up high. How? Lahalos kol nishmos Yisrael l'rum hamalos. He can gather together all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael in that generation and bring it up, soar it high up, to uplift it and inspire it, And that's because the Neros here in this parsha is a reference to the Nishmas Adam, to the Neshama of the person. The Pasuk in Mishlei says an equation, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the Nishmas Adam is like the Ner. And therefore, the Tzadik Ador has the power of uplifting all the Neros, all the Neshamas. And then he goes one step further. This is mind-boggling. He says that the word Ner is not only a symbol representing the Neshama, it's also a symbol and a code word for the mitzvah that I spoke about on Shabbos here, if anybody was here, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that the Ner is representative of the mitzvah. And the Tzadik Hador also has the power to uplift our mitzvahs. You know, sometimes we do mitzvahs, but it's half in, half out, they're not really full mitzvahs. And through the power and the agency of the Tzadik Hador, he's able to gather together our mitzvahs and bring them higher, higher. Again, you have to be a chassid to appreciate this. And he says, Zu Aisa Avodasa Shal Aaron, the first prime example, the paradigm of a Tzadik Hador who did this was Aaron HaKohen. And what did Aaron HaKohen do? He didn't just hang around with the elite, with the geniuses. El Hayamashpil Atzmo Ad Makomos HaShvelim Mi'od. He went down to the lower echelon of society, they like Bia HaShvelim, to bring up these lower people who were not educated, Shav Yisrael, Varashoyim Shavim, and even the evildoers, Ulach Zirav, Lamutov, and to bring them back to do tshuva. If anybody wants to stay for another minute, I'll just say over quickly, the Yitav Lev. The Gemara says in Mesechta Brachos that a person should enter into a shul through two ptachim, two openings, two portals. Is that how you'd say it? Now, literally what the Gemara means, on the simple level, is that there should be a vestibule, and first, you don't go directly into the shul, that's not covered for a Beis HaKnesses, but there's an outer entry, an entrance, and then you go into an inner entrance, into the Kodesh, into the Heichal. But he wants to interpret it, Al Pi Derech HaDrush, and he says, what does it mean, two Pesachim? The word Pesach comes from the word Peh, from an opening, from a mouth, pierce. And he says that really, he says the following. He says, HaKavana Eishi Yikonis HaBeis HaKnesses, when a person enters into the shul, he should imagine that he has two mouths. One mouth he uses for mili d'alma, for anything that's secular and mundane. V'achas, and another mouth, l'divrei Torah, l'tfilah, for kedusha, for high, lofty spiritual matters. And what should he do? He should enter into the first pet and say what he has to say and leave it outside. Letzarch Olaf. The Ata, now he's ready to go into the second Echal with his second pet, and that pet is Pasuach Rak Litfila, Litora, Likdusha, Lo Yasiach Bo Shum Sicha Betela. He has no room for any schmoozing, and that's because he's left that pair on the outside. Okay, Rabosei, we'll stop here. And as we saw, there's a lot about davening and about a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash here in Parshas Paloska Yirotzon. We should be able to succeed in fulfilling even a fraction of some of these laws and appreciate the Kedusha and the reverence and awe for a Beis HaKnesses.